Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com. The
score! This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
The all-new Bernstein and Holmes Show. Middays 10 a.m. till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score. Dan Bernstein.
You still got a legitimate backup in McCown.
McCown! It's not McCown!
McCown.
No!
Lawrence Holmes.
So the goal wasn't to get better this offseason? Then don't complain at the end of the season like your ass did last year, when the front office actually did try to make your team better.
Ian Happ.
Congratulations, guys. I hear I am the first guest.
Greg Olson, lead analyst for Fox Sports.
I've known you guys for a long time, and congrats on your new show together, and I've always enjoyed talking to you guys.
Danny Mendick. How do you make sure that baseball is fun?
That's probably the best question. I got a video that I always look at, and it's me when I was like 2 years old, and they used to have this thing. It was like a little sprinkler, and the ball, the wiffle ball, stayed on top of the water, and you'd hit it. You know, it was in the summertime, and you know, you look at that, and you're like, man, I played this game because I love it, because I want to have fun, and you know, now that I'm at the highest level and I've achieved what I wanted to achieve, that doesn't change.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, powerhouse pairing, 10 to 2 every day.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Well, hot damn, they're right about that. Tell you what, we got a bunch of stuff for you today. Between 10 and 2, White Sox get a nice win. The Cubs, Cubs give us about three plate appearances into that game, and then you flip the old channel on that one.
Not interested. Yeah. No longer interested.
I feel terrible for Caleb Killian, but I hope that he can look back on this and say, when he's polishing up that Cy Young Award, he can say, yeah, I remember how rough it was when I got started, but that's what you have to go through to be great. Or something.
Sure.
Whatever you want.
And if then, you
want
to jump ahead all the way to that, I'm here for it.
But man, O'Neal Cruz, let's have a prospect, shall we?
Yep.
That's like, guy, he seriously looks like an NBA player. Like that, the whole, just athletically, just forget the uniform, just have him, watch him walk.
Watch Spider.
Watch him move. That looks like multi-positional, you know, switch everything perimeter monster, like the top of a 1-3-1 zone guy. I mean,
we had a bunch of those types of shortstops, not that tall, but we ended up getting like the 6'5 guys like Cal Ripken Jr. and A-Rod and Jeter. And the next thing is, oh, well, now there's a 6'7 guy out there. With range and a cannon.
What did they say? 96.7 miles an hour on that? It's like Javi. It's like Mega Javi.
Yep.
It's like Voltron Javi.
Yep. And maybe more selective at the plate.
Well, that's not hard.
It's not.
He better be more selective at the plate. But and I'll say this. Isn't baseball more fun when your team hits the ball over the fence?
It's a hell of a lot more fun.
God. So
Wait, let me amend that. It's more fun, Dan, if your team hits the ball over the fence, if they aren't consistently peppering runs in. Like a team that is hitting consistently and like the Blue Jays slug too, but they get on base. If you've got a team that's getting on base, it's a lot of fun. But yeah, when you just decide, let's muscle up, and let's really take care of business. It's a lot more fun.
I mean, it's 100 degrees out in that park. Hit it over the damn fence and let's have a party. It shouldn't be that hard. It takes so much pressure off. It takes, that is one thing that one guy can do standing there with the bat is just hit it over that wall. And we all go home happy, happy, happy.
Well, last night was another one of those games that I was talking about yesterday, where at the end of it, it's relief. It's not joy.
It ended up being really, it was joy until you started to get a little hinky about it at the end.
Until you started doing the math and started looking at the lineup and like, oh no.
Stoney said it too. When the Sox were up, Stoney, and I forgot who it was, but he made the point that this thing was going to get tighter before it was over because there's no relief in that lineup at all.
Yep.
It's all, every next guy can do something to you.
They were doing some weird stuff with their defensive positioning. Like that Andrew Vaughn double into the Grand Canyon yesterday. Like, what was that? Like, what type of defense were they playing?
It should have been a triple. You got to get a triple out of that.
It probably should have been a triple.
That's the deepest part of the park.
It was just so weird. You're like, there are no Blue Jays in the picture.
Yeah, it was weird. That was like a game where like the other team didn't have enough fielders.
Right.
It happens.
You're
every
playing
once in a while.
With a left center fielder and a right center fielder. That's what it was like yesterday. And then drifted over, and the White Sox hung on to win, which was key.
Yeah, and someone told Lance Lynn he has to throw his bad curveball more, right?
Okay.
Is that right? And it may be, I'm not saying it's improper strategy. It's just not a very good pitch. But I think they've told him you've got to show it more. You've got to just give him something, whether it's eye level or something, just spin one up there every once in a while.
Isn't that something that we can take from Johnny Cueto? Like the rest of the White Sox pitchers can look at Johnny Cueto's pitch mix and go, oh, this guy is throwing his five pitches at least 10% of the time. If you can keep people off balance, you've won the battle of pitcher versus batter. That's a key. It's something that we're going to talk about on the show today, too. Like the art of pitching versus throwing and kind of what throwing ends up doing to people.
312-644-6767 is our number. We call that the Score Listener Line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today as we broadcast live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We have Ray Diaz. We have Mike Rankin. We have Brandon Fryer. We have Connor O'Donnell, who is moderating the chat and producing the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. You know, email and Twitter, you know how to do everything. You know how to find us.
Yeah, at Lawrence W. Holmes is where you can find me. If you're like, I'm not used to hearing this voice at 10 in the morning, it's here. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Lawrence W. Holmes.
If you want to follow me, you can. It's kind of annoying sometimes, but it's at Dan_Bernstein. So that's it's sports and non-sports stuff.
Puzzles.
That's actually a super follower thing now. The puzzle.
Oh, that's
thing.
Right. I forgot that you could do that.
That's a new beta test thing. We're waiting for that to roll out onto the whole mainframe deal. But yeah, the puzzle thing, it's fun. So we've quarantined the nerd club now.
Oh, good. It needed quarantine.
It keeps us out of polite society.
It's very important.
Yes, to keep us so we don't infect anybody else with our word nerddom. But the concept of what you brought up regarding pitching is it merits some time here, and I also think we need to hear from the general manager of the White Sox about where this team is. What they're doing, because they've won 5 of 7. Look, let's look at this for what it is. This may be the normalization point. The schedule is lightening up. They will be getting some people back. If things are going to end up okay, this is when it's got to start being okay.
Yes. There was a lot of stuff that Rick Hahn had to say yesterday, and it's too long for us to play in one big chunk. We wanted to react to some of this stuff that Rick Hahn had to say. So, we got you a bunch of cuts. The first one that I want to react to and let you hear was Rick talking about this team and injuries. And what I find fascinating about this particular cut is, as injured as you think the White Sox are, maybe they're not as injured as it looks inside of a vacuum.
I know you don't like the word, or you've taken over the word of injury prone.
Yes. But let's go there.
Injury unlucky.
Injury unfortunate.
Guys, yeah, who have, I mean, is there anything to do on that, or is it just, is it just bad fortune?
Look, we obviously take the injury situation very seriously. You don't want any of these guys to go through anything that not only compromises our competitiveness, but frankly, more directly their careers. So anytime there's any injury issue, whether it's one guy or it's multiple guys, we look at it fairly seriously in terms of the causes and how we can get better. I have to say, we've obviously suffered some this year. I'm not sure of the exact number. I think we're ranked 11th when it comes to injuries throughout the league right now. So obviously it's everywhere. We don't want to be, you know, in the middle third. We want to be at the bottom, but it's a very real issue throughout the league. As for any individual player, I don't think it's fair to put that moniker on them at all. And look, maybe I'm mildly biased because I see how hard these guys are working behind the scenes to be out there. I've seen guys, you know, fight IL placements, wanting to go out there when they're less than 100% and take risks of potentially hurting themselves more for the benefit of their teammates. And it's been the training staff or the coaching staff or the front office as Bill had to rein them back from potentially harming themselves more. So I just think it's unfair for anyone to question sort of the makeup or the effort or the thought behind when a guy unfortunately has repeated injuries.
So here's my thing, a couple things. There's a little bit of a straw man element to the injury prone stuff, and it was asked of Rick, so I don't want to make it seem like he just made it up, but hearing that the White Sox rank 11th, now you look, for those of us that are watching the White Sox every day, it feels like they're the most injured team in Major League Baseball and not middle third of injured teams in Major League Baseball. A lot of people predicted this. A lot of people looked at spring training and said, this is not an efficient way to ramp guys up. And it's going to end up with there being a ton of injuries. And I get it. Like I feel for them, Shaka Khan. The other part is, and this is what people in sports do a lot. We all know that your staff is working hard. We know that the players, for the most part, are working hard to get back. I don't think that shouldn't change the idea of you need to figure out why players are getting and staying injured. You know what I mean? Like it's like that shouldn't be a way that he can deflect that guys are injured and staying injured. Well, you know, our staff is working really hard. That's great. Congratulations.
While they're doing that, also start asking difficult questions about why your staff needs to tend to so many injuries.
Correct. So it was interesting to hear Rick talk about, he has to do it every time that they come back off of the road trip. He's the Grim Reaper. Like he's explaining, okay, well, this player's going on to the IL and this player's coming off and here's where things stand with Eloy and he's going to start doing stuff now, and Tim's going to be back, and we're going to monitor him and all of this stuff. But it's good to hear him putting forth the, we're injured, but maybe we're not as injured as the rest of the league.
It doesn't make it feel better to say no. Other team, because we don't, a White Sox fan doesn't care about the Rangers or the Reds and their injury problems right now.
But it gives perspective, though, Dan, because it does feel like with the White Sox, it's the end of the world. And it feels like every day you're seeing a guy like go down. And what's really happening is this is a league-wide phenomenon that no one has been able to figure out, which is part of the next part of what we're going to talk about here. Like talking about the White Sox is one thing, but I actually think there's a bigger conversation here, Dan, and you were talking about it this morning. The idea of how does one train a baseball player to play baseball?
It's particularly an issue with pitchers now, with the redefinition of pitching roles, with a new understanding of leverage and usage that is upsetting the old model. So there's a little bit of baseball history in this. There also is an element. This is the juxtaposition of the good fortune of having Johnny Cueto here and what Johnny Cueto is doing. This is a dinosaur. There is a living dinosaur here. And there are places where you can see people pitch and really watch pitching. There's wonderful baseball being played in leagues all over the world. You watch some of these old guys in the Mexican League do what they do with what they have left. The reason why somebody like Bartolo Colon can
pitch till he was 48 years old.
A lot of these guys, because they pitch and they're not just throwing machines. I want to get into that a little bit. There was some conversation on Twitter yesterday about this, but the idea of how we should look at the size of pitching staffs right now and how they're being deployed, how they're being used, and what pitching really is and what it's become something it never used to be, I think to the detriment of the game in a lot of ways. But we'll get into that with using the White Sox as our springboard next. Bernstein and Holmes on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score,
the score, score, score
and 670thescore.com in Odyssey in Station.
Bichette on the ground, right side. Harrison Stoops, and the Sox win 8-7, the final score.
That was fun. A little tight at the end, but it was a fun night. And the broadcast was a little different because they had the contest winner who was sitting in with them as all the good stuff was going on. And they're just so cordial about it. It's such a comfortable way to spend time.
We can get our shirts today, right? Our Steve shirt or our Benetti shirt? I believe we can. Steve has the royal purple shirt, and then Benetti has. You can vote with your shirt.
Okay.
So I don't know what we should do. Like, we both love Jason, but Stoney's on the show every week.
We should both get both shirts. That's how this works.
I feel like one of us should get one and one should get the other.
I don't know.
And then we should just wear them because it's just their faces on them.
I think it depends on your mood. I think you should
get both shirts. It is for charity, for White Sox charity.
Right. So I think you should decide. Maybe you're having a Stoney day, or maybe you're having a Benetti day, and it's just sort of how you feel, and that's the shirt you would rock that day.
I want to feel powerful and like I know what's going to happen, so I'll wear my purple Steve Stone shirt.
I want to feel contemplative, and I want to write a crossword puzzle. Oh, wait, that's just my normal day anyway. I could wear my Benetti shirt.
I want to be smart and have a law degree from Wake Forest. I'll wear my Benetti shirt.
We could joust with churros. That's still, I just love that moment. But
when the churro breaks.
That's my favorite Led Zeppelin song. The
wow.
What? There was a question asked of Rick Hahn, and it was Bruce Levine, who, our own Bruce Levine, the Score's very own Bruce Levine, who had a question to Rick about baseball players now and how they train.
Is it possible, and you hear this among baseball people, that baseball players in general train for the wrong sport?
Well, there's no answer to that, right? You led with that. The training has never been more sophisticated than it has been at this time in terms of our ability to monitor every movement a player makes during the game, much less the stuff we do in the gym and the continuum monitoring of their range of motion, strength, flexibility, etc. So we have more information than we ever had before. Does that mean that we are properly training them? When you have the amount of injuries that you see in baseball right now, it's something that every team has to look at with a critical eye. More information is usually considered good, but it doesn't necessarily mean we're all doing the right practices.
Now, I'm glad in there that Rick opens the door for they may not be getting this right. And I will tell you, and it's interesting because I've apparently been talking to some of the same people that Bruce has. There's a concern amongst folks around baseball that there's a little too much strength training that's gone on in baseball. There's too many guys that are getting yoked. There's too many guys that want to do 600-pound deadlifts and stuff like that. And maybe those muscles end up being tighter because of it. I've heard people say that they need to go to more plyometrics. There needs to be more yoga. And frankly, there needs to be more running. That even though the sport itself is a little bit more about the, you know, run, stop, that there needs to be more running, that baseball players need to be shaped a little bit differently than they are, along with more core exercise versus, you know, making everything bigger and stronger.
It's become explosive in a lot of ways, and it's really hard to train the body to be multiply explosive. There's just a certain number of times that that's what's happening with, believe it or not, all roads lead back to pitching. All the issues with baseball, all the issues that you have that they're trying to solve with pitch clocks and making people have to play bad defense by not allowing the shift, everything that they're doing, it still comes down to what's the revolution of pitching is the story of baseball. There's a physical aspect to this. There's a timing aspect to this. And one thing that's happened is we've trained pitchers now. The whole system has trained pitchers to be
throwing machines,
executors of throws,
yeah,
rather than scientists and artists in between the pitches. Upsetting timing isn't just by the time you get your foot on the rubber. Upsetting timing, the timing is also between pitches. That's been lost completely. Varying stop sets and varying angles, and we saw it a little bit. Actually, you know who did? Brubaker did that a little bit last night. If you saw some of the, it wasn't exactly a slide step, but a little quick pitching here and there. That if I think that's coming back a little bit, that understanding is growing. But I noticed a tweet yesterday from Joe Sheehan, and this was kind of apropos of nothing, but this is part of this discussion about injuries. The ability to stay healthy while carrying a reasonable workload is part of being a major league pitcher.
Say it again for people.
The ability to stay healthy while carrying a reasonable workload is part of being a major league pitcher. And he continues, we can't just keep expanding staffs and loosening roster rules to accommodate this failing model of pitcher development. Endurance has to be part of the package.
I literally stood up and clapped.
You did? Yes.
That's what you need. Give me 180 innings and 30 starts, minimum.
And honestly, like even minimum. Asking for 180.
Right, right.
You know,
it's a
like,
lot.
Like I, what you're asking, what you used to ask for 10 years ago was 200.
Now, and the thing is, too, You would presume that the cutback in innings, that what we view as a horse season, where Mickey Lolich would throw, you know, 300 whatever innings, whatever.
I mean,
you tell
look,
all those
look
stories.
Look at Ferguson Jenkins.
Sure,
you know, like in any Fergie season is what old school people are talking about. We're not even talking about. We're talking about half of that.
Yeah, even now you want to talk about Javier Vasquez or something like that. Just the guy takes the ball and throws, and
Mark Burley.
If it's 175, whatever we say now, pitchers aren't less hurt. You would think that the trade-off had been, well, we know better now than these crazy innings loads. But what's happening is the injuries have increased even as the innings have decreased.
Part of that is...
we're doing something wrong.
Well, I think the thing that baseball is doing wrong, and I'm not sure that there's a really good way to fix it, is maximum effort pitch.
Yep.
That's where guys are, Dan, where you're asking them to give everything they have on every single pitch. And then when you put the stress of high leverage situations on guys and they're doing the Deadpool maximum effort thing, that's where I think we're at right now.
So that's guys, lengthening games. That's why in between pitches, that guy's got to take a deep breath and walk around the mound and let his ATP build up again in his muscles.
Yes.
So he can fire everything in his body at the hitter with that next pitch.
It's like a video game character.
Where it has to load the power?
Mm-hmm. Like the power has to go back up. And then he can throw that pitch, that next pitch again.
That's exactly what it is.
Effort.
That's exactly what it is.
Can I also question the development of high school and college pitchers at this point? Like, what is common practice today, and what is the most beneficial way to get to the major leagues as a college pitcher? And that's throwing hard.
You know what? You know we should talk to you about this. See if we can find Tom House over the next couple of days, and I just would love to know what he thinks about all of this and how to fix it. But I know that there's two things that people around baseball were really worried about. Stoney has spoken on it several times on this station and on the broadcast. What they ask pitchers to do to get ready for their 162 game season was wrong. Like it's and there were people who were putting up the warning flags saying this is not the way to get ready for a season. I get that everyone wants the gate of 162 games, but you're going to end up with more people on the IL. You're going to end up with more pitchers being used throughout the season because you're asking them to do something that their bodies aren't used to. And the last three seasons in baseball have been all over the place when it comes to getting players prepared to play a season. It's been all off. And there isn't a normal right now for pitchers specifically and players overall.
There's something else that's counterintuitive too, because you would think that better medicine would mean better health for pitchers. But ironically, it's been the opposite. And this is an evolutionary issue, because the reason why guys in the 50s and 60s were throwing 250 innings was because they'd already selected out as freaks. The fact that they made it that far. Because you know what used to happen? You know what happened when you got hurt? You were done. They didn't have Tommy John surgery. They barely had orthopedic medicine. It was like medieval barber shops where they would hang you by your ankles and bleed you with leeches and see if you would float in a tub of water to not be a witch. That's basically what it was at all this time. Ask Gale Sayers about the surgery that he had. Ask Koufax. And when you're done, you're done. And if you weren't done, if you could last to get to the majors, chances are you are already made of stronger stuff. Now, high school kids are getting Tommy John. You got 12-year-olds getting Tommy John.
Some people are doing it preemptively.
That goes against the Hippocratic Oath. That is bad medicine to have that done. But it is being done by some unethical doctors. Yes, that is happening. But the fact is, the power of really really technologically advanced orthopedics has in some ways made pitchers more fragile. And we're not seeing, by the time they get to the major leagues, guys who already, you know, have made it through to prove what they can handle and what they can't. We now have to baby everybody. And now everybody is this finely tuned machine that is spending way too much time in the shop because we're not selecting for it. Our process, Michael Kopech has been a professional for a decade. He's been a pro baseball player for a decade. And what is he now? Like, where is it still every
he's
day?
He's at the beginning.
Every throw at something. And you're hopeful he can do. But he's never proven. He's proven he can throw 110 miles an hour at one point. That's all. And that's a match, and it lights up the gun, and everybody gets excited. But there used to be a time when this guy would get to the major leagues at age 26, and he was throwing 200 innings in the minors. It's what you did.
Well, the game itself, because of where it is right now, what you're asking players to do in at bats, like you're asking like maximum effort from the batter too. All of this stuff has made it so it feels like from an injury or a missed time standpoint, something's fundamentally wrong with baseball. And the solution aspect of it is not easy because it means unlearning a lot of stuff that people have thought is right. And that's why I like what Rick was saying there, where we're not quite sure that we're wrong, that we're right in the way that we're getting guys ready to play the game. And I think that's the best approach that people inside of baseball have to take, and they have to take it seriously. And what that means is not just exploring it in the recesses of your mind. Like, that's the first step of it. Then the next part is we need to study it. Now, unfortunately, I don't know if there's going to be anything that's going to happen quickly because you probably need some long-term data. And the last 3 years has screwed that up.
Yes.
Because guys are starting off time and they're playing in these weird seasons that they have. But there's clearly a problem. When people are whispering to me going, hey, you know, you notice that such and such player, that guy's really rocked up, you know, really been hitting the weights hard. Is that the proper way to get a baseball player to function and have a long career? And it makes sense to me when I hear people that push the idea of yoga and stretching and running and the way that baseball players are built. It makes sense. Rankin, what were you doing? Because you're the youngest one here.
I grew up doing plyometrics and yoga and some of the flexibility stuff in high school and into college, so that matters, yeah.
That's good. What were they doing, like, weight-wise with you guys?
Well, it was more repetition, like lower weight, high reps. You know, like, we didn't deadlift. Sometimes we would squat, but we would squat with lower weights. We wouldn't bench, a lot of stress on the shoulders, stuff like that. We stayed away from the straight bar, you know, military press. Like, we didn't want to put stress on our joints like that.
I don't want to be an old school get off my lawn guy, but you know who really had it right in a lot of ways? Walter Payton. Run hills. The value of incline and decline running. Forwards, backwards, sideways. It will absolutely kick your ass. It will completely wreck you. But if you want this kind of endurance that we're talking about and practical strength, run up and down a hill for a while as much as you can. The best advice you can give a pitcher is, first of all, run. Run distance, run intervals, and run up and down a hill.
Matt Forte had asked me, because he knew that I had done some races and stuff, and he said, so you run on like the pavement? And I said, yeah. He's like, stop doing that. He's like, that's stupid. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, you're gonna tear up your knees. Like, well, my knees are already bad from playing baseball. He's like, yeah, stop doing that. And I have now found paths. Like, that's what I'm looking for when I run. So even if I
sand
is fine, but I enjoy running paths, like nice soft paths. And I found a bunch of them in Hyde Park that I can make like a 5K course, like Washington Park, for example, like you can run around it. And I haven't had as many problems when I'm running as I was when I was like, oh, well, I'm going to go pound it out on the pavement. All it takes is someone to like spark an idea like that to bring forth a revolution. But when we keep asking players to be stronger, like, and the word that you nailed it, Dan, the explosion, like they want players to be more explosive. Well, the flip side of that is that you might end up with guys being more susceptible to being injured.
Yeah, but the flip side is arm falls off.
Yeah, and or the hamstring falls apart because you're doing more explosive work in the gym than you are doing stretching or yoga or anything like that. You brought up Johnny Cueto, okay? Rick said something about Johnny Cueto that speaks to what you're talking about. So we'll hear from Rick Hahn on Johnny Cueto and the art of pitching. Next, it's Bernstein and Holmes here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
So we are going to talk about the NBA draft and the Bulls coming up at 11 o'clock. And can we just say that we're going to do this? Can we let people know?
Why not? We have no rules. All right, we're starting out on this thing. We haven't made any rules yet.
So check this out. Since the Boers and Bernstein show, the Bernstein and Goff show, the Bernstein and McKnight show, the Bernstein and Rahimi show would do Who's Your Guy? It's always one of my favorite segments. And then when I was sitting in with Dan a few weeks ago, we did Who's Your Guy? And I was like, why haven't we done this with basketball? So we're going to do Who's Your Guy with the NBA draft on tomorrow and Thursday's show.
Thursday's a shorty, right?
It's super short.
Okay.
We'll do like one segment of it. But tomorrow we'll do Who's Your Guy? NBA draft edition.
Because we should. Because it's...
Maybe your guy is Lucas Williamson.
We'll see. We're going to talk to him today.
Yes.
He'll be our guy today at 1 o'clock. We'll talk to him about his effort, his desire to be an NBA. Because I don't really think that he needs the NBA.
No, he's going to be president someday.
I think he's going to be just fine, whatever he wants to do. But why not give it a shot?
Sure.
At this point, might as well. But we're talking baseball at the moment, talking about conditioning and talking about so many. This is a long form topic for another time. But much of what ails Major League Baseball has to do with this, with explosive pitching. It has to do with pitch engineering. It has to do with the pitcher simply being too powerful, too close. The pitches are too fast and too hard to hit, and it means that it's more important to hit home runs than ever because of the unlikelihood of stringing together positive outcomes. You got to just scratch your lottery ticket every single time you're up there for the best chance of scoring runs. And that has made baseball in a lot of ways untenable, and it's making some of these human bodies untenable. And it's sucked as a White Sox fan this year to go here and there and not know who's going to be available. So what gets dropped in their lap but a glorious pitching dinosaur who's saving them?
And Rick Hahn talked about Johnny Cueto and his ability to do what he's doing by actually just pitching.
I'd be remiss too if we're praising guys and we went through this whole media session if I didn't heap praise upon Johnny Cueto. Not simply for how well he threw the ball this weekend in Houston and obviously shut down a team that we know is extremely potent offensively, especially in that ballpark. But what he did a week ago when Kopech went down, for him to essentially walk into the club, or actually literally get out of the hot tub and wander over. I think he might have snapped for a snack too, but then wander over and say he was able to go. He saved. We don't do what we did in Detroit without Johnny Cueto stepping up on Sunday and eating up those innings. Our bullpen, as you guys have all seen over the last 10 days, or at least leading up to that Detroit series, was extremely taxed. And quite candidly, we weren't real sure how we'd get through that game, getting only two outs from our starter. And Cueto saved the bullpen, saved the staff, and set us up for a successful road trip single-handedly.
That guy has been pitching. And you call him a dinosaur. Like he's not overpowering people necessarily, although there have been moments where fastball placement is overpowering people. But he's just pitching. And you're seeing what timing and messing up the timing of a hitter can do. I don't know how long it can last, and I know that the sample size is small. But it does speak to what Dan's talking about when it comes to the maximum effort guys versus the guys is giving you a little bit of shimmy and doesn't have to throw 97, 98.
Part of upsetting timing is changing when you deliver it. It's the up. People tend to think that the idea of upsetting timing is this was 95, this is 89, or that it's so much more. The upsetting timing is before you throw the ball. It's not just the throwing of the pitch. It's making the batter uncomfortable. And that has to do with your sequencing of not just what pitch you're throwing, but when you are throwing them, how quickly or how slowly, when and where you stop your hands can change everything. Everybody, all these hitters are OCD maniacs.
Mendick was talking about it yesterday.
And Ian talks about it all the time, too, about how this has got to be right and this has got to be right. And I have a process and I have my routine. And little tiny things that look weird can mess that up.
Starting the hitting mechanism, like the load time of the swing, that's what Cueto's been super effective doing to people. And he's also hitting spots, too. Like, I don't want to act like what Cueto's doing is just like this carnival. He's also hitting spots and mixing up the pitches that he's throwing. Stoney talks about this with Lance Lynn, too, where Lance Lynn is kind of throwing one pitch, but he understands how to manipulate the one pitch where I'm going to take 2 miles an hour off. I'm going to change my finger pressure to change the way that this particular fastball is shaped and make it look different through the same tunnel as what I was doing before.
There's also the understanding of with Codify and having your heat maps and knowing everything about what your plan is based on a scouting report. That's fine and it's valuable. But sometimes the best data you have is the previous swing, regardless of anything. And that's why that relationship between pitcher and catcher, seeing the game in front of you. It's like we always talk about with Matt Nagy, where he has the game in his head, and he has everything. It looked all just right down in his little basement with his laminated cards.
The game on the board versus the game right. That he's actually coaching.
And sometimes what just happened and what you've got to know what you see. Mark Burley was great with that. Mark Burley was great. There are some pitchers who survive a long time because maybe your swing's a little different that day and you don't even know it. Maybe that guy, no matter what your scouting report says, he's standing. Something's just different. The light's different. The air's different. It's different. And being able to pitch to that previous, so having a sense, just feeling it a little bit, having the sense, you can call it art, you can call it a craft. There is an awareness that's got to be there, and a communication that's got to be there about what's right for the moment isn't necessarily what you drew up or what your plan says. It isn't.
It's not.
And we know that there is a plan afoot in the Bulls front office, that Arturis Karnišević and Mark Eversley are huddled in the Advocate Center coming up with their plan to build around their precious core to get somewhere beyond where they've been. The draft is a big part of that. There might be trades involved. It's not funny. It's just true. And Rob Schaefer of NBC Sports Chicago, who covers the Bulls, will give us his thoughts on what we're building toward on Thursday. Next on The Score.
Okay, let's do it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.